Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Well, it's my privilege to open up the Word of the Lord today. If you take your Bibles and turn to Matthew, the 10th chapter. Matthew chapter 10. As I began to open this up and began to unpack this precious scripture, I realized I thought I was going to do the whole 10th chapter in one service, and then I said, no, impossible. So this is part one of two parts for the 10th chapter of, at least two parts, the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew. We have to back up to verse number 37 and 38 of the 9th chapter to get the full picture here. It says, "Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field.'" One more time. "Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field.'" How many of you are ready in that dispatch of the Lord whenever he designs and desires? Anybody? A few of you? Did you understand what I said? I'm not going to let you off as easy as our brother last week. How many of you are at the dispatch? The Lord can call upon you to go when he needs somebody to go. Thank you. There's a few more. I love serving the Lord. Oh, yes, there's frustrations because there are people involved. Huh? Turn to the person next to you and say, "You can be ornery sometimes." And guys, the wives are the ones that ask me to say that. Ministry can be difficult. And many people, unfortunately, have been scared off of ministry because it is difficult. Sometimes you can get criticized and some of those things, but I'll tell you what, there's nothing more fulfilling in your life than serving the Lord. And I don't mean just showing up for church when the church bell rings. I mean serving the Lord, actually being available to him, be ready to be dispatched. I've told you this before, but I thought, when the Lord called me as a very young man into the work of the ministry, I thought for sure that I was going to grow up, go to Bible school, and then pastor my home church. I thought for sure. I mean, that was in my heart. I was fully ready to do that. Throughout my teen years, I worked as the youth pastor and organized all of the youth events and led the services and everything like that, and I was working full on toward that goal of being the pastor of that church. The senior pastor at the time was going up in age and gave me some assurances that that was in his heart as well. So as I went off to Bible school, that was in my heart, and he said that was what was in his heart. He wanted me to go to Bible school and then come back and pastor that church. He had started the church, and it was, I don't know, 50 plus years, well, more than that, old by the time that statement was made. So I thought everything was set. And then my senior year of Bible college, everything seemed to change. There were many different factors on his end that he was not going to do that. And I remember the devastation in my heart. It was like, oh my, this has been a life goal. And it was a challenge to my direction, if you will, even in the things of the Lord. But lo and behold, the Lord had a different plan. Now, I don't know why he didn't birth the plan earlier, but after I graduated, and Sharon and I were living then in Springfield, Missouri, and I'm sending out resumes and different things, and nothing seemed right. We went and tried out at a couple of places, or even voted into one place, and we knew in our hearts that it wasn't where God wanted us to be. And then all of a sudden, the superintendent of the Kentucky district contacted me, and he said, we have a closed church on the north side of Louisville. It's been closed for some years, but we need an Assemblies of God full gospel church on the north side of Louisville, right off of Zorn Avenue. We have a little building that's tucked up in the community there, and we'd love for you to come and do that. And we prayed about it, and we decided to go in that direction. So we went, we had no money, so we went and stayed on the Kentucky District campgrounds in one of the dormitories with our new son, and began to push forward in that. We were there for right at a year and realized that it wasn't going to happen. We had gotten up to about 40 people, but I had knocked on every door and talked to every single person in the entire community. This is up on the hill, right off of Zorn Avenue by the VA hospital up there, if you're familiar at all with that area. And there's a little area of all white frame homes. Down below, the homes are like half a million on up to several million. And the people in those million-dollar homes would not come up the hill to the little white church up there. So, I, as I said, visited every single home. I was working very closely with the district office. And they said, now you're welcome to stay and fight on, or you can just help us and we'll sell the building and realize that at some point we'll come down the hill and start a church. I might add, there still is not a church on the north side of Louisville to this day. So we did. We sold the building and scooted on out. And then the Lord opened up another pioneer situation for us. And from there, we went and pioneered another church in West Lafayette off of Purdue campus. And then into the district office and had the privilege of starting 23 churches in the district office. I say this because, you know, we learn some of the best lessons in ministry from the things that don't work. And one of the things that I learned was that as you approach ministry, and this goes for all of us, there needs to be a ministry plan. In other words, you need to have a focus and know where you're wanting it to end up. Not just the plan of, okay, I'll jump into this and see what happens. But rather having an actual plan to move in. Some of it may happen, some of it may not. If it's God's plan, it will unfold. If it's our plan, sometimes it doesn't. But a ministry plan. And as I began to study and understand the scriptures, I realized that this was Jesus. He had ministry plans. You can look at the way he carried out his life. To those who were walking with him, it may have seemed that he was on a wigwam journey going all over the place. But looking at Jesus' life and ministry, those 3.5 years that he ministered throughout Judea, he had a plan. He had a plan for Galilee. He had a plan for the southern Judea. He had a plan even for the Samaritan. Jesus had a plan. He had a Jerusalem plan. If you remember, on occasion, his disciples said, you know, are you going to Jerusalem to the feast? No, I'm not going. They were surprised. And then after the feast already started, Jesus made his way there and showed up. His timing was perfect. It was exact. You and I need to realize that the Lord is still working in that precision. He's still working in an exactness. And if you and I are willing to embrace His plan, we can step into what the Lord is doing in His time, with His person, in His place. And when that happens, wow, you get to see the unfolding of the miracle of ministry. So that's my heart for you. I, as your pastor, I want to see you step into the miracle of ministry. To step in with a plan, if you will, to come through and see the hand of God like you've never seen it before. Did you realize that God is still doing miracles? That was kind of weak. I said, do you realize that God is still doing miracles? And see, we often think, oh, well, you know, when's the last time that I saw somebody healed? When's the last time I saw somebody raised from the dead? You know, we start going down that path. Listen to me. There are all kinds of miracles. Seeing the hand of God at work in your life can be the most powerful thing that you have ever experienced. When you know your capability, when you know your preparation, when you know what you bring to bear, and then you see God do something that is bigger than that, it is spectacular. You kind of step back and you go, whoa, look what God has done. And can I tell you this morning, I want to see that for you. I want you to experience that. Now, the only way you can experience that is if you open up your life to let God use you. So I'm going to start here at this place. I'm going to pray for you that the Lord would open up your heart to know the opportunity of being used of God. Folks, life is more than just working a day, getting a wage, coming home, being with your family, getting up the next day and doing it all over again. For the believer, he wants to give you and me a wow life. Wow, because he will do things in us that we could not do ourselves. Why be a Christian if you don't want to let Christ shine out in your life? Well, I want to go to heaven. Oh, there's more. Praise God for what happens at the end of this journey. But there's more. And the more is being used of God. You know, I was excited over just watching Steve last Friday night. He was at the center of his heart to be praising the Lord in this community that he loves. I could feel that excitement. I could feel that energy to see that the Lord had done something that he had been praying over for years to see happen. You know, for those of you that may be new, one of the churches that was represented were individuals who were part of this congregation at one time and split off, and it was an ugly situation. And it was something that needed to be healed. Only God can do those things. We sought at different times to try and make it happen ourselves because we could see the need for it. But God, on this occasion, at the right time, in the right place, with the right people, God made it happen. You see, He wants to do these things in your life. Every attempt at ministry needs a plan. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning that you have a ministry point for every single person in this room. If they belong to you, then you have a plan for their life. I praise you and thank you this morning that those plans are different for every single one of us. But you have a plan. I thank you, God, that if we will yield our hearts to you and to the voice of your Holy Spirit, that you will direct us, you will guide us, you will move us in the direction you want us to go. And as it unfolds, we get to see your power, we get to see your presence, we get to see those wow things that we could never make happen ourselves. I pray for each person sitting in this church this morning and all those that are listening online, that they would begin to seek your face. And that they would begin to realize, Lord, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you have a plan that they are a part of. And that you would guide them and lead them. No matter how old they are, how young they are, you want to use them. And may that unfold before them. In Jesus' name. Now bless us as we look at your plan, Lord Jesus. Help us to realize you have it for us. In your name, praise the Lord. All right, let's begin to unpackage this. Beginning at verse number 1, chapter 10. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. The first thing that I would show you in a ministry plan, and by the way, the 10th chapter is Jesus' ministry plan that he is giving to his disciples, and he will do the same for you if you'll allow him. The first thing is the power of this ministry plan. The first aspect of this power is that they are called. They were called out by Jesus. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him. I believe he's still calling people. Those that are willing to listen, he is still calling out your name. He doesn't call somebody else's name and expect you to respond. He calls you by name. You say, me? Absolutely. We're not all called to be preachers. Thank the Lord. We're not all called to full-time ministry. Thank the Lord. But we're all called to step into ministry and a plan that the Lord Jesus has for our lives. Now hold on a second. Just imagine, if this statement is true, that all of us have a calling, that all of us have a ministry that the Lord wants us to be involved with, the countless number of people who never step into their ministry, what does that say? That says there's a lot of work that the Lord is wanting to be done that's not being accomplished. Now, to me, that's sad. Maybe because too many are expecting somebody else to do it. Well, that's what we pay the preacher for. I can't do it all. There's no way. I find the older that I get, the less I can do. The reality is that we together do the work of the ministry. This is the body of Christ. And there's all types of ministry that all types of people are called to. Some will be up here on these risers. Some will be back there in the pew. Some will be in other parts of the building. But all of us are called to ministry. Now, I want you to understand something this morning. This is the next text that we have to follow as we're working our way through Matthew's gospel. This is not a recruitment Sunday for the Sunday school or any ministry in this church. This is prayerfully to wake up Christians to realize that if we are part of the body of Christ, then the Lord has a plan for our lives. If he has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, then you have a ministry. Now, whether you do that ministry or not, that's where your will comes in. But he has a plan for you to step into. Now that can be exciting, or that can be an oh my. It's an oh my if you don't care to step into it. But if you care to step into it, look out below, because God is going to do some things that you can't even imagine. Because see, the second part of the power of this ministry is the authority. It says, He gave authority to them. You see, when you and I step into the plan that the Lord has, there is an authority that comes along with it. I'm not talking about a title. Titles are empty. Okay? Some people, you know, they want a title. Give me a title. It's all I need. Titles are empty. You know, we can ask you, we can call you out and say, we would like for you to serve as an elder here in the church. But the title will not do it. It is when you are willing as that elder to get on your knees and seek the face of God so that His power, the authority of His power, is flowing through your life. And then it's that point that then you can be effective as an elder in this church. It's true. Because the authority comes from the Lord. The calling comes from the Lord. There's not a single man that can save you from your sins. You need salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. He calls you out of darkness into His marvelous light. He sets you free from sin. And when He has bought and paid for you with His precious blood, then whether you realize it or not, honey, you belong to Him. And He has a plan for your life. And He is prepared to give you the authority that you need, that is the power of His Holy Spirit, to do what He's called you to do. I mean, this is just good and better. And not because I'm saying it, but because Jesus said it. And because Jesus does it. Your plan that God has for your life may not be as I told you about mine. I thought I had it all planned out. I thought this is the way it's going to be. It did not work. Sharon can attest, even throughout the early years of our ministry, I kept expecting that maybe somehow, some way, that was going to turn around and happen. But instead of setting back and waiting for what I thought, we kept working. And God kept blessing. You see, folks, you know, you and I, we have a tendency to work things out ourselves. Anybody brave enough to say amen? I said, we have a tendency to work things out ourselves. And then when the things that we have worked out ourselves do not work out, then we blame God. And we take a step back and go, well, it didn't work. Huh? We love to find those excuses to step back away. Keep pushing. If a door closes, look for the other door to open up. Look for the authority. Look for the power. Look for the blessing of the Lord. Look for the presence of the Lord to be upon your life. Because if you are in the midst of His plan, you will palpably, you will be able to feel, you will be able to sense, you will be able to see His hand at work in what you're doing. If you don't see His hand at work in what you're doing, maybe you're on your own journey. Now, there is a general statement that is given to all believers. Go into all the world, preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In My name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes. Don't go for that one. When they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. Don't run out and challenge every snake that you meet. What he's talking about is when you're in the midst of ministry like the Apostle Paul and you're gathering sticks for a fire and a snake connects to your hand, you can shake it off into the fire the way the Apostle Paul did because you're on mission for the Lord. He takes care of us when we're on mission. There is specific authority that comes to us for the plan that the Lord is unfolding in our lives. You know, after planting 4 churches, I'm telling you my goof-ups and stuff, okay? After planting 4 churches, I thought, oh, I think I know how this works. So when I finished Day Spring on the north side of Indianapolis, I thought, okay, the Lord wants me to pioneer another church. So I immediately then began to work the process. I put together a plan according to the things that I knew, went down to the center of Indianapolis where there was no Assemblies of God church. We need a church in the center of Indianapolis. So I began to work the plan. I even found a building, one of the oldest churches in the state of Indiana. It's down on Meridian Street, down about, I don't know, 12th Street, something like that. Right across the street from the public library, main library. And I went in there and talked to them. They had turned it into Indiana Business Center, or Business School. And I went in and I talked to them, met with the chancellor of the school. I said, we would like to start a church. He said, well, give you the space for free. I said, whoa. Look what the Lord is doing. He said, how many rooms do you want? We don't use them on Sunday morning. You're welcome to use them. I thought, this is spectacular. I mean, you know, God is opening up the doors. And I left there, and I mean, I'm pumped. Wow, this is fantastic. And if you're familiar with Indianapolis at all, I went on up, I think, Illinois Street and caught Fall Creek Parkway, and I'm driving around Fall Creek Parkway, and I know the spot. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, you're not the one to start that church. I found the closest spot that I could pull over, and I mean, I wept before the Lord. It's like, but, they just said we could have the space for free. But you see, I didn't have the authority. Now perhaps I could have pressed on because I had a free building. But you see, I have learned somewhere along the line that without the authority, it's empty. Only want to be where the Lord wants you to be when the Lord wants you to be there. He wants to use you. He will use you if you will allow Him. But when He speaks to your heart and says, no, not you, listen to Him. You know, let's bring this down a little more practical. You know, that person that you work with or it's in your business or whatever, and your heart cries out for them. They're lost. They need to know Jesus. And the, you know, your desire to see them saved calls out and says, I'm going to look for every opportunity. I'm going to go to them. I'm going to talk to them about Jesus. And you gather tracts and you get everything all together and you're ready to go see. And the Lord speaks to your heart and says, not now. Or you're not the one. Listen. Because the authority for doing that ministry has been taken from you. I guarantee you, He will use you. But He has to give us the authority. After I backed away from that situation in downtown Indianapolis, two young couples, the Holy Spirit lit the fire inside their hearts. They started the work in the public library right across the street from that church building that I had looked at. They started in there and had a congregation running 400 plus of all young people from downtown. The Lord knew exactly what He was doing, when He was going to do it, and who He was going to use. Don't second guess God. He knows. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Accept that. Let His plan unfold in your life, and it'll be an exciting thing. Let His authority be the authority that you work in, and it will be magnificent when it unfolds. Hallelujah. You know, I didn't realize, but the Lord was changing our ministry. He wanted to use the things that we had over the first 20 years to change our ministry, to go to Michigan for 8 years and put together, back together, a church that had fallen apart because of a mess that had been created. God has a plan for your life, church. That goes to the second part that I see here. If you look at verse number 2, he says, these are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, his brother Andrew, James, the son of Zebedee, his brother John, Philip, and Bartholomew, and Thomas, and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. Every ministry plan has a people. Every ministry plan that the Lord brings to the surface has people involved. The first people will be the people that He has called to do the work. On this occasion, this was for the 12. He wasn't looking for anybody else. These 12 who would be apostles, who would be the strength and the power of the church. He had a mission for them and for them only. He has a mission for you and for you only. You say, well, if I don't do it, somebody else will. Not necessarily. Do you realize that when Jesus comes back, there's still going to be work to be done? How many realize that? That when Jesus comes back, there will still be lives that have not been touched. There will still be work that has not been accomplished. It's not like He's going to wrap it all up in a nice, and put a bow on top of it and go, you know, it's all done. No. Because there are too many believers that have not accepted God's plan of ministry for their lives. They're waiting for somebody else to do it. Let's soak in a minute. God has a plan of ministry that only you can accomplish. You realize I have an opportunity here on a day like this to speak into your life. But I cannot speak into your world. You have a sphere of influence. Family, friends, co-workers, you have a sphere of influence that I will never have the opportunity to minister to. It is only if you take hold of the ministry that God has ordained for your life and begin to own, if you will, the world that He has put you into and accept His authority and plan for the work that He has called you to do. But I can guarantee you, if you're willing to do it, you're going to see power. Really quiet in here today. Who knows that? There is a specificity, specific call that the Lord gives to individuals. Yes, there's a general call, but there is a specific call that He wants to unfold in our lives. How do you know it? Seek His face. Get on your face and begin to pray and seek the Lord, and He will open that before you, and you can begin to walk in the ministry that He has for your life. You say, well, but I'm doing so many things. Well, but are those so many things the plan that God has for your life? You see, that's where it's the most important. If you belong to Him, if you truly belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, are the many things that you're involved with in all the busyness of your life, is that the plan of God? That's the question that has to be answered, because, church, I'm sorry, but the truth of this is we're going to stand before Jesus one day and give an account for our lives. And you know what's going to be on His mind? You know what's going to be His plan? The books will be opened, my Bible says. And when those books are open, those books will be the plan that He had for our lives. I put you where you were for all of those years because I wanted to pour my Spirit into your life so that you would speak to your world. Again, I talk about the specificity of this. He told the disciples, He said, when you go, go only to the lost sheep of Israel. Now see, I don't have time this morning to unpackage this whole thing, but I can tell you right now, later on, if you go to the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, you will see that the Lord wanted Peter to go to Cornelius' house and talk to Gentiles. He even had to kind of work things out on a roof with Peter in order to get him to do it. How many know the Bible enough? You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. You know, I'm sure Peter is like, okay, I'm going to go to the lost sheep of Israel, and that's all that God wants. And God says, okay, now, I've got another place for you to go. I need for you to go to Cornelius' house, so we're going to change things up here a little bit. You know, some of you may have been used of God in days past in one area. You've got to be willing for God to change your direction. He may say to you, okay, now no longer go to them. Now I want you to go over here. But Lord, I was doing so good over here. He said, well, you got a choice. You want to go with me or you want to go by yourself? I hope you're hearing that God has a plan of ministry. Jesus was unpackaging a plan of ministry for these disciples. And He wants to unpackage a plan of ministry for you and for you. One that is so specific that no one else could do what you're doing. How many of you have come to the understanding that the Lord loves you? Huh? How many of you come to the understanding that He loves the lost? Okay, we need to get those two things together. That see, He loves us enough that He wants to use us. And He wants to use us to touch those who are lost and without Him. Paul said to the church at Rome, he says, how will they know unless someone tells them? How will they know unless somebody is willing to go? Unless somebody is willing to walk out the plan? See, Jesus realized that in His flesh, He was limited. So He said, it's expedient, it's important for you that I go, because when I go, I'm going to send another just like myself back. And He's not going to be with you, He's going to be in you. And He's going to be in you, and you are going to accomplish more than I could accomplish here on earth. Do you understand how much He has entrusted to us? Let me close with this. And there's lots more. We'll unpackage it in the weeks to come. But let me see if I could frame it in this way. Let's say that you know that you're leaving for an extended period of time. And somebody else is going to have to take care of your life. Take care of your family. Take care of your work. Take care of everything that you're responsible for in your life. Imagine the conversation that you would have with them. Are you with me? Okay. You're leaving. You know that you're leaving. But now you have got to entrust everything that is important in your life to someone else. Start going through in your mind the different things that you would want to tell them. It's right. Yeah. It's like, oh, wow. Oh, and then there's that. Well, let's see, somebody will have to take care of my house. Well, and I want to make sure that, you know, I want to make sure that my kids know that I love them and that I haven't forgotten them and that I will be back sometime. You know, and then my work. Oh my goodness, my work. Somebody's going to have to cover that. Well, let's sit down. Let me go over with you everything that I do. Because if you're going to pick it up, here, this is all that you're going to do. And all the way up to the point where you leave, you will be sending text messages, and you will be making phone calls, and you'll be saying to that person, oh, hey, I forgot something here. And don't forget to feed the cows. Oh, and by the way, they're not all alike. You, this one over here, you'll have to do this with, because they're, huh? Exactly. Come on. You see, we know that Jesus did that. He said, I'm leaving. And I need to entrust everything that I have been doing here on this earth to you. Now, you know, I ask you this morning, if you entrusted your life and everything about your life to some individual or individuals, where would be your heart? What would be your hope? Wouldn't it be, boy, I sure hope that they don't forget to tell my kids that I love them. I sure hope that they don't let me down on my work. I would hate to think that everything that I have worked for, everything that I've built, that it would all just dissolve and fall through. Right? That's Jesus. Everything that he came to this earth to do, everything, the salvation of mankind, he has said, I'm calling this one, and 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 I'm going to entrust to you everything that I do. I want you to do my work. I want you to take care of my family. I want you to love in the way that I would love. I need for you to do this. I need to entrust this to you. Now look, I'll give my life for you, so that you can have power to do this. But I need to entrust you with this ministry plan that I'm laying out. How are we doing? How are we doing with the life of Jesus? Are we letting him down because we're so interested in our own stuff? He calls people to minister to people. Because he has come into their lives. He's come into us. He's offered us the power of the Godhead to enable us to do that. And he says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you always, all the way to the end. If you'll let him, he will do something incredible with your life. Or you can let somebody else try to do it. But I guarantee you, there's a ministry plan that only fits for you.